will bear much on the lesson. The real text around which the lesson will revolve is really Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Malachi, remember, it's right beside Matthew. It's the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 and 9.
Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. Be ye saved. Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation.
Will any person rob God? The statement or the question asked by God, will a man rob God? It's really, can be also worded, will any person The question comes in the form of bearing. It is who will be so great as to deprive God of what belongs to him. That's the substance of the question. Will a man rob God? It's daring us that. Is there anybody dare do that? Of course, the Israelites did not know in what way this was done, and I'll probably say a few things on that as we go on. Will any man or woman take sin to this level? Will a man rob God? Is there a man or a woman who will reject God's claim upon him or her, or upon what we have? Just briefly, look at chapter 1, verse 14.
But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing, for I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts.
Now, this passage is connected to chapter 2. It's the old business where the Almighty God was pointing out to the Israelite nation, people, they have robbed him. But why I've read chapter 1, verse 14, is to make some clarification on the word rob. The passage just read about curse be the deceiver. And in what way were they deceiving God? Well, not God, but others than probably themselves. Is by robbing him. It can also be translated curse on the cheek. In fact, some translations have that. Another way it can be translated is curse be the root. That is a person who is always walking or operating outside of the rule. Rob. to deceive, to cheat. Why wrath? How can robbing God come in the picture? Isn't what I honestly work for and earn, or what is given to me, isn't that mine? I'm going down the road that your reason. So let me repeat. That which I have labored for and honestly earned, or that which is given to me, isn't that mine from any legal, ethical, or moral sense? Yes. Wrong. How comes then? How can I rob God? Keep in mind the sense of robbing, or the meaning, is to steal. We all understand that. The word rob also means to plunder. The word rob also carries the idea to deprive. Unlawfully. You see, we can deprive something of what belongs to the person, but I deprive the person lawfully. I take it because I have a right to it. But when you rob is when you deprive the person unlawfully. You have no right to it, and you either keep it or take it away from the person. The word rob means to deprive of what is due. That is, what is due to a person, you don't want to give it over to the person. The word rob also carries the idea of feloniously plunder. So, Brother Mitchell, are you saying we can be a felon when it comes to God? That's the idea that the word rob carries. May I? Notice, I want you to notice this. In chapter 1, verse 14, and chapter 3, verse 8, notice something that is common to both passages. Let us hear it.
But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing.
That is chapter 1, verse 14.
For I am a great...
Chapter 2, now, verse... chapter 3, verse 8.
Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings.
Read on.
Ye are cursed with a curse.
Here again... curse. What we need to take away from this is that in both cases, in chapter 1, verse 14, what the Israelites were doing is where God asked for a male that was spotless and without blemish. The Israelites were trying to trick God. They would take to the priest the limping sheep, the sheep that limped, And they would also, when they have the beautiful male sheep that carries the price, they would take the female to the priest and say they have no male in stock. That's right. People haven't changed. But in both cases, these fail to pay their tithes and offering. That is in chapter 3, verse 8. And these were taking to God the inferior stuff. But in both cases, the Almighty God says the consequence is a curse. So it is not something that we have to take lightly. Wrong. We are still there on the subject of how Rob comes in the picture. The fact or reality of man, especially God's people, robbing God, that comes from the truth that is expressed in some of these passages that we are about to look at, and it's expressed throughout the Bible. That is why wrath, where it all comes wrong. Why wrath? It comes from the truth that is expressed in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14. Let us hear it.
Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God.
Wait, the heaven
and the heaven of
the heavens
of the heavens is the Lord's thy God.
It is. Well, let me put it in our language. It belongs to the Almighty God.
The earth also, with all that therein is.
You get it? You thought that God would have left the earth for us to be owner. No. He wants every man, Christian and non-Christian, to understand that not only the heavens of heavens of heavens belong to him, but the earth and
with all that therein.
That all that the earth contains belong to the Almighty God. We all get it? I'm helping us to understand how comes wrath. Where is the connection? It's because everything here belongs. In fact, let us listen to another passage. The one that was read. Let us hear, and this is a great passage. 1 Samuel chapter 29 and verse 10 to verse 15. Let us hear it.
Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation.
This is a great passage. This is an awesome passage in which David, in fact, may I just point out what we are reading here in 1 Chronicles 29 is among David's last words before he died. In fact, the giving God thanks that they were able to offer this type of sacrifice to God is If somebody came and tell us that it was David's last act, the person would not be far from the truth. Because in this we are reading, among the last and final thing that David did or said before he died. Read, brother.
And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel,
mm-hmm.
our Father, forever and ever.
Uh-huh.
Thine, O Lord.
Thine. Yeah. Central concept here is God's ownership over everything. Thine,
O Lord,
is the greatness
and the power.
Thine, O God, is power
and the glory.
Thine, O God, is the glory
and the victory.
Thine, O God, is the victory
and the majesty.
Thine, O God, is the majesty.
For all that is in the heaven and
everything that is in the heaven belongs to God. Read.
And in the earth is thine.
Everything in the earth belongs to God.
Thine is the kingdom.
Kingdom belong to you, God.
O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all.
Both. Before you read further, ladies and gentlemen, this is a awesome acknowledgement. We're in that dark ages, the Bible called the Old Testament period, the time of ignorance. But here is a man that was ahead of himself. When he acknowledged God's right and lordship over everything that is in the earth and in heaven. We need to acknowledge that. In fact, the more we acknowledge that, is the less we will rob God. That is a fact. Read on, brother.
Both riches and honor come of thee. Come of thee.
Come, God.
And thou reignest over all.
The Almighty God reigns over all.
And in thine hand is the power and might.
In God's hand is the power
and might.
And the might.
And in thine hand it is to make great.
In God's hand, God. Made great.
And to give strength unto all.
God gives strength to all.
Now therefore, wait.
You get the drift here, because we may not come back to that, this point especially. It is God who gives strength. Watch here now. We make way to the things that we have heard. We tell ourselves, my Lord, feel and sweat. I heard that. Yes. But never forget that strength is God. You must never forget that. Read, brother.
Now therefore, O God.
O God.
We thank thee. And praise thy glorious name.
We praise your glorious name.
But who am I? And what is my people?
Uh-huh.
That we should be able to offer so willingly after this court.
I like that word, willingly, Jonathan. We would not find to go back to the previous chapter to get some of the list that David himself gave, not out of the state treasury, but out of his own wealth, and how the people of Israel gave so liberally. And what David is acknowledging here is that it was done willingly. That's the only type of giving God accepts. So just as well, we don't give, it is not with. Read, brother.
For all things come of thee.
Everything. Everything comes from God, the offering from God.
And of thine own have we given thee.
We ever give God anything that belongs to us. See, that's one of the deceptions. We deceive ourselves in telling ourselves, this is mine and I'm going to give it to God. No, we don't have anything. Everything that we give to God belongs to God in the first place. And it is this business that it belongs to me. And I cannot afford to give to the cause of Jesus Christ this much. It didn't belong to you. Nothing you own belongs to you. It belongs to God. Everything that we have to do with or relate to our youth, it's made from something that God has made. Man has not yet made something out of nothing. Man has not yet done that, and he'll never do that. Everything that we use or relate to, benefit from, it comes from God. What said, dear brother?
For we are strangers before thee.
That's another point. We are strangers before thee.
And sojourners.
We are sojourners.
As were all our fathers.
As were all our fathers.
Our days on the earth are as a shadow.
Days on the earth are a shadow.
And there is none abiding.
There is none that going to stay here. That's right. Huh? It is a glorious yet a humble acknowledgement of God's sovereign universal proprietorship. God is the proprietor of this universe, of this earth. Each one who owns it, each one who runs this business of the earth, it belongs to him. Are we there? God is the exclusive owner of everything here. And all what we have here is the work of God's hand. Are we there? And the Almighty God rules over everything on earth, and God with his power sustains everything here. Are we there? We are strangers here. Isn't that what you have just read, brother? Somebody didn't hear that.
For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners.
Sojourners mean we are travelers.
As were all our fathers.
I mean, you know, hear of important people passing. And a lot of times they are not people who have reached any advancement in age. We are all of us sojourner. We are travelers. Huh? And therefore we have neither right nor property. That's right. Whatever I'm in my house is mine. It belongs to God. In fact, because we are travelers, what we have here is the Almighty God. That's all he gives us. The 20 years that we live, and then death comes. The 30, 40, 50, 70, 80, 100 years. The Bible has just told us somewhere there that it is like a shadow that passes. Just a night lodging as we travel to our eternal home. Everything belongs to God. And therefore we must make sure for everything in a right way. So it is on this ground. It is on this fact our truth. What fact our truth? The God, the Almighty God, owns all. In fact, and great is the all that God's own and we own all. Not only that he owns all, but it is what he owns is great. And he rules over everything. It is from this that robbing enters the picture. It is because it all belongs to God. God is the true, the real owner of everything. It is on that basis that God sent the prophet Malachi to tell Israel that that which they should give back to God out of what God gave them, they were forfeiting it. And therefore they were guilty of robbing God. Are we there? God total, complete, rightful, legitimate ownership of things is what brought in the concept of robbing. Because God owns all. Listen, Psalm 50, verse 9 through 14. Let us hear it.
I will take no bullock out of thy house.
God says, I will take no bullock
out of thy house.
That is the flesh out of your house.
Nor he goats out of thy folds.
Nor goat out of the fold.
For every beast of the forest is mine.
Why God will not take it? It belongs to him. He said, every beast
of the forest is
of
mine.
The forest
is mine.
Is mine. And when we go up in the country, we say, that's a wild pig or a wild goat. No, sir, it belongs to God. It has an owner. That's right. Read, brother.
And the cattle upon 1,000 hills.
The cattle upon 1,000 hills belong to God.
I know all the fowls of the mountains.
All the fowls, the duck and the whatever and the things that fly. God knows them. They belong to him. Read, brother.
And the wild beasts of the field are mine.
You hear? God's ownership of everything here. If we keep that in mind, what verse is that, brother?
The ending of verse 11.
Read.
If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the word is
and
mine.
I remember Eddie always liked this verse. God said, if he were hungry, he wouldn't tell you. Because you have nothing to give to God. Whatever you give to him to satisfy that hunger comes from him in the first place. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you.
For the world is mine.
The world is mine. Porter, the person who saves everything. We are going to be looking on this stingy person. And we are going to be looking from the religious psychological point of view. That is, religious psychologists who have made a study of how the way we spend and use money reveals character. It is enlightening. Yes. How we use what we have tells not about us. But that is the lesson for tonight. Don't miss it. What it says about those who scatter?
There is that scattereth and yet increaseth.
Scatter here means the person is liberal. The person is kind. And the Bible said the person scatter, the person share, and yet the person increases. Eh? But that is taught throughout the Bible. Read on.
And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty.
The person who hoard, selfishly keep everything, that person, God's word says, who saw for that? God. The brother or sister doesn't share with those who are less fortunate. Are we there? We are not the better.
The liberal soul shall be made fat.
The liberal soul. Hasn't the Bible talked about giving liberally? The liberal soul shall be made fat.
And he that watereth shall be watered also himself.
That is the good you do, God will provide somebody to do it back. Wait. Don't misunderstand the passage. It doesn't mean that the person to whom you do good necessarily will be the person to do it back. And that's where we make the mistake. Look how I have been what and what to you. A lot of times, that person might be ungrateful, that person might have a bad memory, but God is going to provide somebody. If you water, you will also be watered. I like how the wise man, what is the point? Whatever we give to God was already not ours. Are we there? This hesitance or failure to give back to God what is his due, this is robbery at its worst. As we have said, we have seen that in both cases, in Malachi chapter 1, 14, and chapter 3, verse 18, verse 8 and 9, there is a curse from God. For robbery to withhold our heart, ourselves, and anything from God. As one theologian said, for what is there of which we can say, this is not God's property, it is not part of God's estate. We can do what we like with this. What is there out there that we can say that? What is out there? What is in this earth that we can dare say this is not God's property? It is not part of God's estate. We can do what we like with this. Because everything belongs to God. Hence, our shortchanging God, God sees it as robbery. You notice the question the Israelites asked when God put forth his question, "Am I anyone do that?" The Israelite says, wherein have we robbed thee? Meaning, in what way have we robbed you, God? This is important. You know why it is important? It's not only in terms of money that we rob God. And the question implies that, wherein have we robbed it? In what way? Israel didn't know when God asked the question, in what form the robbery take. It could have been money. It could have been their time. It could have been their talent. It could have been their influence. It could have been their strength. Take the time God worship. That time belonged to God. It belonged to God. We must never try to find ways to deprive God of that. Because many times God's hand to take away from us blessings. And that blessing can be money, it can be time, it can be talent, it can be influence. It can be our strength. When we tend to use every blessing, every talent we have for ourselves and try to find ways to try God, to rob God, to change God, sometimes the Almighty God has to bring us to our senses. Have you noticed as we wrap up? Have you noticed that everything that man makes or builds or brought about, man claims his right and expects some appropriate form of return? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? Let me put it another way. Everything that man has put out some effort to bring about, to build, to accomplish, man usually expects some form of appropriate return. Everything, with exception. That is, the house we build, if we do not live in it, we want to rent it out to get some return. The garden we plant, we want to reap something from it. The machine we invent, or we want to get some return. In fact, even the children that we rear, we expect that child to come with a sense of gratitude. God expects her. Everything built or brought about, he expects some form of return. A lot of times it's not necessarily monetary, but he expects some return. And the world thinks it's reasonable. God expects that all the blessings he gives us, we show our love and appreciation and acknowledgement of his right, and return some to him. Isn't that reasonable? It is. And as I close, look here now. Did you know that when we became Christian, we are acknowledging Jesus' right over us and ours? That's one of the implications of Christianity. that you are saying, yes, Lord, I am submitting my life to your lordship, to your authority. I belong to you. You own me. Now, he owned you all along, but when you are living your ungodly, sinful life, you reject Jesus' claim. When you become Christian, you are acknowledging Jesus' rightful, legitimate claim. And you are submitting to it. The unbeliever, while you remain a non-Christian and a believer, you continue to resist Jesus' claim. That's one of the difference between the Christian and the non-Christian. The Christian submit, does not only acknowledge, but submit him herself to God's claim on his life and on what he or she has. That's the Christian, the true Christian. The ungodly man, the disobedient man or woman continues to reject that claim. So this is why the ungodly will not, God will not condemn the ungodly man simply because he steals. It is the state of disobedience and rejection of God's claim that the ungodly man lives in. That state of ungodliness and disobedience. It does mean the ungodly does not commit particular sin. Yes. You and I as Christians can end up in the eternal hell for any particular sin. The ungodly will not end up in hell for a particular sin, but for the state that he lives in. He lives in a disobedient, condemned state. Because his life means he rejects Jesus' claim over his life. As a Christian, if you are God's claim, don't rob God, because you are not giving God anything that belongs to you. Whatever we give him, the time that is spent in worship this morning is God's time, and the time that will be spent tonight when we come, we should be like, give God thanks that he to give him the time. We should not invent ways to rob God of anything that belongs to him. Anything that he gives us. Is it money? Is it talent? Is it influence? Is it our strength? It belongs to God. Let us keep that in mind. It is rightly said that when a person gives himself completely and willingly to God, that does not have a problem giving his material things. If you are here today, one, if you have not submitted your life to Jesus' claim that your life belongs to him, he gave it to you. And now because your life become contaminated with sin, Jesus Christ wants you to come to him with that life. And he will deal with your sin problem. It means you will be submitting to the lordship and the rulership of Jesus' claim. If you are here today and if you are a child of God who have drifted, backslide, you are grown unfaithful, that means you keep resisting God's claim. Submit to him completely. And you can do it now as we stand and sing. 159.